Sometimes by dint of an opportunity, a single man may rise from the sordidness to a deed of beauty, but that is all.
Buxton, 5th of August, 1915. Do you remember the hilly road over the moorland, where we went along during a walk one Sunday, the first time you came here? Yesterday evening, Edward and I went a long way up that road. We talked for a long time and very seriously. I don't think I shall ever forget it. I don't know why, but somehow I think that Edward in his heart has a kind of haunting feeling he will not come back. He did not exactly say so, but he said that he had achieved scarcely anything as yet, and he did not see his life was very much good to anyone. He wasn't sure if it was very much good to himself. As for me, I don't know what I think about it all, any more than I did when you went. My mind is in a turmoil, and I only know I feel very alone.
France, 15th of August, 1915. I am coming home on leave on Wednesday in 3 days' time. I did not know definitely till this morning, and only had time to scribble a few hurried lines to Mother, telling her to let you know too. I don't know whether this will reach you in time, as posts are variable and unreliable. I will telegraph as soon as I reach civilization, or know definitely when or where I am likely to arrive. I'm afraid it is no good your trying to communicate with me at all until I get to England. I will leave my arrangements about what I am going to do when I get there until later. Consult Mother on the subject. I cannot realize that I really am coming at last, dear. Very much love. Till Wednesday. R. Lowestoft, 19th of August, 1915. Arriving Liverpool Street, 11:30 tomorrow. We'll meet you St. Pancras First Class Ladies' Waiting Room as soon as I can get across there. Roland.
I reached St. Pancras and waited in the waiting room till he came. I tried to make myself look as nice as possible, but it wasn't much good, as the train had made me hot and untidy and flushed with inward excitement. I couldn't keep still, but paced about, now in the waiting room, now on the platform. At last I saw a figure I thought I knew go up and speak to a porter. I say thought, because since I last saw it, that figure had acquired a maturity and a premature air of having knocked about the world, which made me feel quite sad. If anyone had told me he was about 30, I should not have been surprised. He seemed rather thinner, too, and wore his clothes as if a military uniform and he had grown into one another. The next moment, I was meeting him face to face. We shook hands without any sign of emotion except his usual paleness in tense moments. I felt as if the intervening months had never existed and that he had never been to the front at all. A good deal of that afternoon was spent in discussing how much we should be able to see of each other during my precious weekend. After prolonged argument, it was agreed that, as my family was expecting me, and I had no luggage, he should come back to Buxton with me for the night. I could then return with him to Lowestoft from Saturday till Monday. During dinner in the train, we discussed the critical attitude of the wartime world towards the relations of young men and women. We foresaw a series of leaves in which our meetings would be impeded by suspicion and our love tormented by ceaseless expectant inquiries. Why do you smile?
Any idea?
What is it?
Would it make things better if we were properly engaged?
Roland, what do you mean?
That. Shall we be?
You know how much being engaged means. Do you really care for me like that?
Yes, like that.
It was a strange weekend. Inwardly annoyed at having to label ourselves engaged, Roland and I were a little angry with one another all the time. The belief that demonstrative affection was expected of us made us both reticent, restless, and perverse. Roland, indeed, for the first 24 hours,